The membrane bulged inward as Ben began to push through. Luke returned his lightsaber to his belt, and now that the membrane was no longer obscuring his vision, took a moment to examine the chamber more closely. Clearly, it was a primary access point to the station's central sphere. It resembled a serving bowl that had been stood on its side. The wall to Luke's right was the interior of the bowl, a deep basin that curved up to the membrane through which he had entered. 3 meters above this one was a second membrane, no doubt providing access from another part of the station. Luke was standing on what would have been the inner rim of the bowl, a walkway that curved gently upward both in front of him and behind him. To his left, where the bowl's cover would be, rose a large disc-shaped wall ringed by the hatches he'd glimpsed earlier. About half of them were open, and through one of the doorways, he could see the red strobe of a small alarm light. Luke was just completing his survey when Ben arrived, nearly bowling him over as he came tumbling down the wall and crashed into a closed hatch. Ben cringed with embarrassment, and a long stream of static came over the helmet speaker as he hissed indiscernible curses into his microphone. Luke glanced down to his son's membrane-clouded faceplate, then commented,
"So much for that remarkable Jedi balance."
Ben cocked his helmet.
"I thought you had to pull free."
"Me too."
Luke helped Ben to his feet and spun him in a quick circle, inspecting the vac suit for damage.
"Everything looks fine. At least you know how to fall right."
"Lots of practice," Ben said.
As the last of the membrane dissolved from his faceplate, his gaze dropped to the lightsaber Luke was still holding in his free hand.
"Trouble? Maybe."
Luke pointed up toward the hatch with the flashing red glow.
"Let's go have a look."
Luke returned the lightsaber to his belt, then led the way toward the hatch. As they ascended, the centrifugal force of the spinning station kept them firmly secured to the walkway, so that they always felt as if they were standing at the bottom of the room. The queasiness that had come over Luke when they left the shadow's artificial gravity grew a little stronger, and the station seemed even more alien and dangerous than before. This was not a place hospitable to humans. On the way to their destination, they passed two other hatches, both open. One led to a larger version of the sloping wall by which they had entered their current chamber. The other provided access to a long corridor lined every couple of meters with simple sliding doors. Judging by the rumpled cloth and spare vac suit parts spilling out of many of the open doorways, the cabins beyond had served most recently as private quarters. As they drew near the hatch with the flashing red glow, Luke began to hear a faint, rhythmic buzzing from inside. He checked his environmental status. The atmosphere in this part of the station appeared to be within survival tolerances. So he opened his helmet's faceplate and immediately wished he hadn't. The air wasn't just stale, it was fetid, reeking of a dozen different kinds of decay, a couple of which he had not smelled since the swamps of Dagobah. But there was also a more worrisome stench, an acrid odor that had filled the cockpit of his starfighter all too often, melting circuit boards. And the rhythmic buzzing was, of course, exactly what he had feared, the clamor of an alarm klaxon. A surprised retch sounded behind Luke, then Ben gasped.
"I think my sampler unit is feeding me static. This stuff can't be breathable."
"It sure isn't pleasant," Luke said.
"Feel free to seal back up if you want to."
"Are you?"
Luke shook his head.
"I have a feeling it's going to take all my senses to sort this out."
"Then it won't hurt to have an extra nose sniffing around," Ben said. "You can stop being so soft on me. Yoda wouldn't approve."
"Yoda would have made you do all the sniffing," Luke said, stepping through the hatchway.
"And he would have had you convinced he was just trying to educate your nose."
Beyond the threshold, they found themselves standing on the observation platform of a large tri-level room. Outside the front viewport shone a pulsing mass of purple light, lined by crackling veins of static discharge and haloed by tendrils of shooting flame.